Okay, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Justin Cook. Justin, how you doing tonight, bud?
Not bad, brother. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we apologize for last night. We had some technical issues, and we tried to do it on TalkShoe, but TalkShoe's really nothing more than a pain in the ass. You can't use your headset. You can't play the audio through it like you need to, and just it's a backup plan, really, but we're going to try and stay away from that from now on. We got everything up and running now, so we'll be broadcasting from here from now on. We're going to get into a few things tonight. Justin, what did you want to start with?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about this gun amendment thing. And I've looked into it a little bit. I haven't probably done the research on it that, you know, some of these huge, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm all for gun rights, and I totally believe that. But I think, again, we're seeing the alternative media blow something up a little bit. Don't get me wrong. The Constitution, to me, I think that those rights are really just our God or whatever given rights as human beings for the most part. But here's the thing, though, I kind of looked through it, and it's not going to take away their guns. Even if it passes, it still has to get 66% in the Senate, which is most likely not going to happen because it's a good majority of, you know, even though they're from both sides, but Republicans know, you know, there's Republicans know they won't get reelected if they do something like that. And not only that, but it's obviously with the Tea Party people running things, and you know, regardless of elections is a sham, they do have to have some political, they do have to have some support behind them. They can't just put a nobody in a seat and expect people to buy it. I don't know. I think it's just more pandering, if anything, just to make a big deal about it. I do think eventually it will happen. But this isn't going to be like where they come and take all your guns. This is kind of like it is more against, you know, what they call assault rifles and everything. And a lot of people can say, well, what is this? Where do you draw the line of assault rifle and a lot of these guns are already banned and whatnot. I don't know. I mean, I don't see it happening. I think it's another one of their plays to make you look at the left hand while the right hand is doing something else. That's really my whole opinion on it. I don't know. Until I hear anything more on it, I think it's more, the same stuff we're used to from the Fox News types, the Tea Party types, and sadly, the Truth Movement types nowadays. You know, that's my personal opinion on it. I don't think they're coming to get your guns anytime soon. Eventually they will, but, you know, not in the next 10 years, I don't think. Unless, here's the thing, they need a major false flag, a major gun false flag to do it. The Trayvon Martin thing is not going to do it. The Giffords phony event thing was part of the line of it, but you know, again, we're not at that point yet. Americans are not willing to give up the right to total to protect themselves, and that even goes for many mainstream Americans. They have to get it in people's, at least 70% of the Americans' minds that guns are bad, and that's not the case right now. My whole thing is they have to keep the people happy while they rape us, you know, and that's what they're doing. They're keeping us happy while they slow kill us. And not only that, guns are a part of their agenda. You know, they need black on black crime. They need black on, you know, they need whites to whites and Mexicans to kill each other down by the border. They need Mexican street gangs to kill each other. They need, you know, they need these things. This is the media eats these things up. You know,
They love having the guns out there. They love having the guns out there. I almost forgot about the whole Giffords thing now that you mention it. And, the whole Fast and Furious thing. I mean, look at it. They were giving guns to the cartels to cause violence on the border.
Right.
So they want people around here to have guns, too, so they can fight back and have this whole,
right,
this whole nonsense going on, this whole phony drug war where, you know, the government's in on most of it, making most of the big money themselves, like the CIA, the cocaine import, you know, agency.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and that's, I don't know. So, I mean, I got to see more than Obama plans to, because I did look into it, and it has to pass the Senate with 66%. You know, isn't that funny too? That everything needs 1/3, 2/3. You know, just in general, how that comes down. But that's why these numbers are important. 33, 66. You know, it has to do with 99. You know, 100 makes a triangle out pretty much. But you know, that's. I don't mean to get the esoteric part involved in it, but I just figured I would say that. You know, since we're talking about that. I don't know. What did you want to start off with, or you know, what was there anything you wanted to, you know, you're eager to talk about tonight? You know, I don't know. What did you?
I wanted to address. There was an article that Jim Fetzer wrote, and I actually I commented on it, and I kind of called him out on a few things, and it's rather funny that he actually deleted my comment. I tagged him in it too on Facebook because he's on my friends list. So I tagged him in it to make sure that he got a notification, to make sure that he would read it right away, because the article was a couple weeks old, I guess. It was posted on Veterans Today, and the name of it was 9/11, Have We Been Bamboozled? And once again, you know, he'll go a certain distance and he'll talk about, you know, the planes being fake or whatever. But once it gets into, you know, maybe some of the victims in the towers, if not all of them, were fake, he won't address that at all. So I called him out on it, and I asked him, and I said, hey, Jim, why do you guys always, you know, dance around the issue of, you know, of the whole thing being a hoax and the victims being fake and et cetera, et cetera. Anybody that wants to see exactly what I wrote, I put it right up on the radio page. It's right underneath the chat. There's a big picture of it. If you guys just hold control on your keyboard and hit the plus sign, you can zoom in and read it a little better. It's a lot clearer than when I posted it on Facebook the other day. But the funny thing is, right after I wrote that comment to him, he deleted it because I went to tell somebody in one of our groups about it, and she said it wasn't there. And luckily, I still had the window open from where I originally posted it, so I was able to grab a screen grab of it, just, you know, to prove to everybody that I actually did put this comment up there. And if you go to his site now, the comment's nowhere to be found. You can go through all of them, and you won't see the comment that I left for him, calling him out on that. And, you know, the reason being for that is he's a gatekeeper, you know? That's what his job is.
You know, here's the thing, Brian, I'll let you get back to it in a second. The worst thing out of all this is the censorship type thing. You know, I could see if he answered back and, you know, and gave you something, well, you know, but say something. You know, we know that you've looked at this stuff. We know that you've seen this information, and so I mean, at least say, hey, give us, if whether you think they were all real, they're all fake, or, you know, or say, you know, hey, it's very possible that a good amount were fake, or but at least I don't know, I would have accepted that but just plain up erase it. To me, that you know, I hate you know, when people pretend to be an advocate of free speech and then go and censor a comment like that when it's, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's.
Oh, I hate people that pretend to be on your side and pretend to be for the truth, and they're really not. These guys are treasonous bastards. I mean, that's what he is. There's no way, Justin, that he hasn't come across the information we've come across. There's no way that Jim Fetzer, after all this time, hasn't, you know, seen the discrepancies with the Social Security Death Index and seen that only about 60 families collected on a victim compensation fund. And there's no way he hasn't seen the Photoshop pictures of a lot of the victims in the memorials. There's no way he hasn't seen this stuff. I mean, how could I have seen this stuff in under 2 years and Jim Fetzer hasn't seen it? It's just absurd. He knows. He knows what the real story is. You know? He absolutely knows. He's not a dumb guy. Like you said, he's a college professor. He's a smart guy. And he knows because, you know, I know for a fact he's come across this information. I know people that have talked to him and told him this information. You know what I mean? Like, it's, It's ridiculous. And for him to just go out and erase my comment rather than at least try and debate me or something, or try and quote-unquote debunk me or whatever he thinks he can do, he didn't even want to get into a dialogue at all about it. He just deleted my comment, you know what I mean? He responded to a whole bunch of other people, but when I put up that up there, he deleted it.
Right.
I'll read the comment right now, exactly what I wrote. It's right here. You guys, after, I'll post a link to his article after if you guys want to read his whole article. But I wrote, why do you guys dance around the issue that the victims were also fake? Surely you've come across this material, James Henry Fetzer. I had to write that because I tagged him. We can continue to point the finger at who's responsible, but the fact of the matter is it was all a hoax. No one died that day. The collapses we were shown on TV were bullcrap. And rather than try and debate me or say anything or disagree with me or anything, he just straight out deleted my comment. He did it fast. I mean, he did it in less than 60 seconds, maybe even less than 30 seconds. Like, he was on top of it, man. He deleted it right away. Right away. And I just think that's bullcrap. You know what I mean? I just think that's bullcrap. Here's a guy pretending to be on your side, you know.
Well, you know, well, here's the thing, Brian. At least you deserve an answer, and whatever way he's swinging, you know, but to go and erase it, that's right there shows that, you know, it's something he didn't want to answer. So right there, you know, I'll pretty much answer any question someone here has for me. You know what my opinion is, and his, you know, but for someone that's supposed to be, you know, scholars for 9/11, you know, truth and whatever else, and does radio shows and has I know I've heard the him do he had the guys from Let's Roll Forums on there. I think he's had Simon Shaq on the show too as well, right?
I don't know if he's had him on the show, but I know he's talked to him on the phone.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, you know,
I'm sure he got he's heard the information if he's talked to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. I would think that
and he had those Phil Jahan and Larry over
that's right
from Let's
right.
Roll on his show, and they were talking about, you know, the Social Security Death Index and all that. I know Jim's heard it.
And the fake jumpers, and so right there, if he was acknowledging on the show that they had fake jumpers, you know, then obviously right there, then that's not 3,000, you know, right there it's you know, or even the fact of you know, of some plain personalities being fake. So I mean, yeah, you're 100% right, and that's like I said, you know, you deserved at least an answer. You deserved at least, you know, like, you know, him to say like, well, it's possible, you know, but at least say it. You know, like, you're supposed to be talking about 9/11 truth. You're supposed to be digging to the extremes of it, but, you know, don't pretend like you're this bastion of truth and then. Something like that, just dodge it and erase your post, you know?
Yeah, it was pretty ridiculous. I'm glad I was able to grab a screen grab of it, though.
Yeah, definitely.
What else did you want to get into? Did you want to talk a little bit about you thought they were actually going to push to put the new puppet Ron Paul into the White House?
Yeah. And here's the thing now too. I think that they, you know, it's something now. If you look at it now, here's the way that I'm thinking of it. You know, he never said anything after his son endorsed Romney. He's still running, as far as we know. Now, he's got a bunch of supporters showing up to the convention down in Tampa and everything else. You know, so, I mean, yes, that doesn't mean anything. However, if you look at it, you know, and I'm from what I'm hearing from some, you know, followers of it, he is still totally in it as far as delegates go. And I guess what it comes down to is that there's a possibility he can take it if he believe has to take Nebraska. And you know, we know that the country is not going to be to be happy. Here's the thing: we have pretty much five or six main groups, you know, pretty much that you know, kind of vote along or support along the same lines, you know, or different lines. We have the strict you know, neoconservative sect of the Republicans, right? We have the Tea Party sect, which sometimes they kind of intermingle, but Then we have the, you know, the Ron Paul libertarian section. And I don't want to say all libertarians are Ron Paul like, but continue. Then we have the Occupy movement, and then we have the Obama bots. Now the Obama bots want Obama in, right? The neoconservatives want Romney in. However, the Tea Party is not happy with Romney. The Occupy movement is not happy with Obama. So who would be you know, for those three groups, being, you know, the Ron Paul people, being the Occupy movement, and being the Tea Party movement, Ron is middle of the road, and he would, you know, and the point I'm making here is that he's the guy that makes the most sense for them to put in, because
more dangerous than people think too. People think, you know, he's you know what people think. People think that he's for right. us and this and that, but he's never gotten behind 9/11 truth. Ultimately his big thing with the gold standard. I mean, that's not what we want to happen.
No, we don't at all. And he's the one that has talked about how, you know, auditing the Federal Reserve, and we know about CAFR and how it's been audited and whatnot, and the same things go with you know, we've gone down the Ron Paul thing, but, you know, but his statement on the gold standard, and the fact that he would accept it globally makes me think that he's going to be their Trojan horse pretty much. And nobody would think that this anti-globalist guy would do something like cheerlead a one world currency through, you know.
People have no idea what he really stands for. Like, we've talked about it before, but I forget the name of the second bill I was thinking of, but the first one, like the SOPA bill, remember, he actually, you know, Ron Paul actually went out, took the time to write an email to all his supporters. I forget, what state was it that Lamar Smith is from, Justin?
It's Texas.
Texas, right?
Yeah. Fellow Texas incumbent at the time.
Yeah, so he went out and emailed all his supporters that would be eligible to vote for this guy and asked them all to vote for him. And this is the guy that actually wrote the SOPA bill, the one that Ron Paul says, you know, he's going to get rid of if he's elected. But he actually supports the guy that wrote it.
Right. Well, wrote the bill, supported both bailouts, supported both wars, supported
exactly.
the Patriot Act. Well, you know, I mean, and obviously, you know, if that's not enough for you, you know, there's a lot of stuff as far as his economic plan and what it would do to us and the fact that it's actually would be far worse nowadays. And, you know, this whole fair market thing is bullshit, you know, as far as it goes. And his deregulation stuff is, you know, he's the one that complains about government. Don't get me wrong, I complain about government too, but he's been in this government for the last however many years. So, I mean, you know, you can't have it both ways, you know. So, I mean, as far as that goes, you know, it's just a total paper tiger to me. I can't believe people are still getting behind this and thinking that the elite are going to put someone in that's not for their best interest. And of course, too, we have the people that he surrounds himself with. Doug Weed, you know, was the guy that got the both Bushes in. He was their campaign advisor. Bruce Fine, who also his other people he represents are the IMF, Saudi Arabia, Goldman Sachs, the same people that engineered our crisis. Also, too, Peter Thiel.
I was going to say that. Isn't he one of them, too? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
one of his biggest contributors to his campaign.
Yes, Peter Thiel is his biggest contributor by far. Peter Thiel runs his biggest super PAC. And Peter Thiel is a Bilderberg on the steering committee. He's not just a regular guy. So, you know, now you see when they're telling us that when Alex Jones and Jim Tucker, James, whatever the hell his name is, are telling us that Bilderberg wants to kill Ron Paul, You have to, well, hold on. His biggest supporter is who's on the inside group of it, supposedly, wants him dead. And the guy, Peter Thiel, who's also, you know, made certain weapons for the CIA, made, you know, certain patents and whatnot, sold them to the CIA. And all, you know, and also, you know, had something to do with Facebook. You know, and obviously the that story is not the real story. Like, you know, Brian has wrote the article about a guy named James Brewer who actually gave, what, 12 million towards it, correct?
Yeah, he gave 13 million, like 20-something times bigger than what Peter Thiel gave, and his name's not mentioned anywhere because he was from the CIA, so they wanted to keep that hush-hush. But that's where the money for Facebook really came from. It came from the CIA and from DARPA.
Right. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Thiel had some of that money, but wanted to not have his name on it as much, too, if he was going to be involved in this Liberty thing or whatever. You know, and here's the thing. You know, people don't understand that you know, it maybe 30 or 40 years ago, before the corporations had so much control, his plans might have worked, but nowadays it's not going to work. Even, you know, they can play it straight with his things, and we're still going to get raped because, you know, it's more corporate friendly. It's more, you know, and here's the thing, like we said, as much as we hate the FDA, we hate all these groups. Well, you know what? They don't need to be disbanded. They need to be totally reformed. You know, we need to get Monsanto out of there. The Security Exchange Commission. We need to get Goldman Sachs employees out of there and honestly and hold them accountable. You know, we need to end the Fed, yeah, but we need to give it to the Treasury. You know, we can't have it both ways. You can't have a president and have and say you don't want government, but then vote for a president. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to get anarchy with Ron Paul. It's not going to happen. All you're going to get is anarchy of the corporations. That's what's going to happen.
Nothing's going to change. That's why I don't understand why people put so much faith in this guy. People that are supposedly awake or in the truth movement or whatever, they put so much faith in this guy, and he's just another politician. And all they did, guys, is they found a clever way to spin it and advertise him. You know what I mean? Make it look like he's on your side. He's not. Nothing else is going to change.
No.
You know, and I'm not saying just give up and don't do anything. I'm just saying don't put your faith in a politician. See, I even hate talking politics. You know what I mean?
It bothers me
to even waste time on it, but it's like you almost have to because so many people buy into the bullcrap. Yep. This guy's on their side, and this guy's going to change everything if he gets elected. The guy contradicts himself as much as any politician.
Yep.
Just as much as any of
well,
them.
Here's the crazy thing, too, is that, you know, out of bills that he's authored, here's the most telling stat out there. He's authored two bills that have passed ever. Two bills that have ever passed. And it's not like there were two groundbreaking bills. The two bills that he passed was one was to get some type of sidewalks put in a certain town in Texas. And then another was something that something you know else like for senior citizens.
Wow, that's really big time, huh?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So I mean, you know, besides all these ones that get glorified, but we know are going to get put down. You know what? If I'm in his situation and I really want to change things, I'm going to put the you know your own party and the president on blast at every point necessary. You know and. And he hasn't done that, you know, nearly enough to make him viable. No. You know, right on C-SPAN, hijack it, right in the middle of the thing that's, you know, make him shut it off on you. You know, make him look crazy. You know, if you're in that, if you're actually a revolutionary in that mind state, you've made it that far, and you'd think a guy like him would have nothing to lose, too, but you say, hey, I'm 71 years old, go ahead, kill me. You know what I'm saying? No, he's been involved in the game longer than the rest of them, and he understands it. He's a Texas guy and everything else, and I don't know. I tend to believe he's from the same Scottish Rite mold as so many of these other famous guys. These John Birchers support and all the you know these other ones that are all for states' rights and everything else. Don't get me wrong, states' rights is not a bad idea in a lot of levels, but, you know, again, it's, it, you know, I don't know, it's not the, what they're doing is they're selling us this idea that, you know, freedom, when in reality
pushing the sense of the internet. If people would just realize that, if anybody that's listening right now, or anybody that's listening to the archive later, if you're a Ron Paul supporter, just know he is actually supporting the guy that wrote the bill to censor the internet. He's not just like going along and playing ball. He's going out of his way to support this guy.
Right. Well, here's the thing. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, that was before SOPA, but he should have came out and said something like, "Hey, Lamar Smith, I helped you get in." That's the thing. If he was a real revolutionary, I mean, people make mistakes. They trust the wrong people, which I don't. I believe that the guy voted for two bailouts, both wars, and Patriot Act. I would think that he wasn't, my type of guy. So I don't think I would have supported him. But say he was, everything was good before that. Then all of a sudden he came out of nowhere with this SOPA bill. Well, then I would blast him and say, "Hey, you know, Lamar Smith, what's up with the SOPA thing? After I told my people to vote for you, now you want to take away their internet rights?" You know, so I mean, you know, these are the things that are left unsaid. That
did you see the video where he got confronted? He got confronted and asked,
"Why, by John Bush?" Yeah, we should.
Yeah, and his answer was, "I'll try and dig that up next time we go to break or whatever." His answer was, "He said he voted for him. He voted for." Because everybody, because they made
other
a deal,
Texas
all the incumbents.
Yes,
all the incumbents made a deal. So they made a deal to back each other up, no matter what it means to you.
Right. All Texas incumbent congressmen made a deal that they would all support each other. And, you know, so, and of course, he has this big cult following down there. And so, you know, all these people went and sold their soul when they, you know, went and went to the polls and voted for Lamar Smith. Now, here's the thing, guys, too. Lamar Smith right now, actually, is in a race with Sheriff Richard Mack, who's quite big in the liberty movement. You know what I mean? So he's helped this guy stay alive in politics. And what happens if he beats Sheriff Mack? You know, are people going to remember that Ron Paul helped this guy's career stay afloat? You know, Sheriff Mack is that one that goes around talking about FEMA camps everywhere and everything else, and the strength of the federal government. Well, you know, he's going against Lamar Smith, the same guy that Brian's talking about. So I mean, it's not just a mistake. You know, here's another mistake too for everyone out there. He was the lone person that voted for. People say he's anti-war. But then in 1981 he voted for the Israelis for not condemn Israel for striking the Dimona nuclear facility in Iran. You know, and this was not as a peaceful, you know, facility. So I mean, you know, not to condemn them, I don't know, it seems like he is pro-Israel, which is really pro-Nazi nowadays. It's pretty much the same thing, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, look at their actions.
Yeah. You know?
And yet all these, you know, it's crazy though, sorry to cut you off after I saw.
No, go ahead.
All these anti-Zionist, all these, you know, anti-Zionist activists think that he's with them, and he's not. And he's not. If he's, you know, saying that Israel shouldn't be condemned for bombing another sovereign country. So there you go. And that's, you know, to me. And you know what? We've both written blogs on this, and you know, it's nothing personal, but it's another scam that we see coming, and we want to help other people see it coming. And, you know, and here's the thing. You may ask, what's your solution? My solution is, you know, let's go out in force and really, like, make it a point to maybe all meet up in some place. I know, you know, if I was Alex Jones, I would have this ability to get all these people there, just like all these people are at Bilderberg occupying it and occupying, you know, let's occupy the vote. Let's go to the nearest voting precinct, or let's all meet up at a big one, Or across the street, you know, or whatever, and you know, where there's a park at some of them. I'm sure there's one somewhere in New York City or Boston or one, you know, somewhere near where one of us is. Let's just go there and get as many activists as we can that say that this vote is bullshit and we don't want to be a part of it. And let's get the cameras there. Let's show these people that's how we're taking part in this government, because we have no. We have no dog in this race. It sucks, but Obama, Romney, Paul, either way, we don't win. Gary Johnson, same thing. We don't win. Doesn't matter. You know, there's no one even with any, what do you call it, credibility that I would, you know, even consider. So I don't know. I'm all for that. I'm not one for writing in someone or, you know, I'm in for court. Let's try to distract, you know, and get a big movement going of non-voting, you know, and it won't work though, because so many people are so worried about writing in Ron Paul if he doesn't make it by some chance, which...
That's the thing, he's there to make people buy back into the system, you know what I mean? People that are starting to wake up before they totally disregard the whole voting scam.
Yeah, you're right,
The whole scam, the whole bull crap that it is, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, no, you're right, I mean... Between Electoral College, you know, and I'm sure everyone, and that's not even a thing that, you know, even someone that's not awake knows about Electoral College and how it's a scam and how it takes away from the average man's vote. But never mind Electoral College, but they have these Diebold machines, you know, that anyone can, or not, you know, anyone can hack that has access to it for like $20 worth of parts. And obviously, I'm sure that there are certain people that set these up, and they're probably given this little computer chip to stick in it, and that'll fix the votes and make, you know, this area that's a heavy Obama area, it's going to, okay, those votes are going to show up for Romney or Paul or whoever they want to, you know, whatever the case may be. And it's just really like whoever you vote for is going to be like an opposite vote, or it just may make every other vote go, you know, however it works, there's been... people who have taken the stand saying that they can control the vote. They can make it come out 51-49, so-and-so, you know. And that's, you know, computer programmers and people that worked on the same software that we're talking about here. It's not a problem at all. So, you know, I don't know. I think that until we reform the electoral system, there's no reason to even think about a candidate. Go ahead.
No, I think that's absolutely right. I think the best thing we could do is all refuse to go out and vote. I would have thought that after the whole scandal that went down with Bush and Gore a long time ago, that people would have realized something fishy was going on, and maybe, you know, come next election, at least they would have stood up and done something, but they didn't, you know, when Obama got in, you know, people still showed up to the polls. Not everybody, but a good amount of people still showed up, and, you know, I just think that's the whole reason they have Ron Paul. One of the main reasons, you know, is to make all these people that are starting to wake up to, you know, whether it's 9/11 or, you know, well, that's where a lot of us started, but, you know, let's be honest. But, you know, all types of things you've been lied to about your whole life, you know what I mean? And when you start to wake up to these things, they don't want you to realize that the whole voting thing's just a sham, and they're going to put whoever they want to put in. So they give you this candidate to buy into. You know, he says the right things for you, but in reality, his actions speak louder than his words. And most of his own supporters don't ever even pay any attention to his actions, you know. They just, you know, hoorah, Ron Paul, yay, yay, yay. And they don't even really know what the guy's about.
Yeah, no, they don't know the whole story, and that's the thing. And the whole thing of the gold lie has to be, you know, it has to be... to be sorted out soon, and the whole idea that we need gold to back the currency, and it's so why so many people believe this, and yet it's such a fallacy, and anyone that knows anything about any economics besides Mises, who was, you know, supported by the Rockefeller Foundation, anyone that has been taught any type of economics besides that knows this, you know, and it's, you know, it's sad. I mean, just that people have been, you know, and we've talked about this before, the whole setup where we had you know, G. Edward Griffin write a book called The Creature of Jekyll Island. And he, in fact, you know, talked about he you know, put gold in it. And all he did was he ripped off the same book that was written by Eustace Mullins called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And he talked about a solution called social credit. And, you know, to be honest, it's a lot more along the lines of what we need to do. And you know, it's a very simple thing would be, you know, the greenback solution and you know, and just going, like I said, back to the U.S. Treasury. Of course, we need to trust the government. We don't trust the government now. So, I mean, but the Federal Reserve is private. So what are they going to replace it with when they get rid of it? That's the main question. And I think that, like you said before, he has no opposition to globalism. So, and he has no opposition to a single world currency. So,
who do you think is going to be able to manipulate the gold easier, people? You think it's going to benefit people like us, regular people? You think it's going to benefit the top, like, you know, 5% of the wealth?
It's going to benefit who?
They're going to have the inside track on everything, and when the price gets changed and everything, you know.
Well, here's the thing. It benefits who owns the gold, and what they're going to be able to do is collect rent off their gold, and it's going to be the same as the you know, fiat currency and everything else. You know, it's just sad that such a fallacy has been, you know, pushed for so long. Here, I actually have an article about it I want people to read. You know, where it talks about the whole thing of how they switched this and if you look at, you know, you look at these people that push it, you know, Mises, Rothbard, Ayn Rand, Peter Schiff, you know, a lot of these people have ties to the elite. You know, it's you know, and who are the other ones pushing for this? The Koch family. I don't know if it's Koch or Koch. Let's call them the Koch brothers. You know, with the Cato Institute.
Who are they? Who's that?
You remember the Koch brothers? KOCH. They're from the Cato Institute, and Murray Rothbard's part. It's supposed to be.
Lost your mic, Justin. There you go.
You know, and they also helped found the John Birch Society too, as well. So they're, you know, and believe the Heritage Foundation as well, the Volcker Fund. All these things come from, you know, and I don't even call it Austrian economics. I call it Bavarian economics. It's really Illuminati economics, to be honest. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, the Volcker Fund, which is, let me see. Okay, yes. The Volcker Fund was also founded by John D. Rockefeller. So, I mean, you know, do you believe that Rockefeller wants the best for it? Not only that, let me name the three other important people that are pushing a gold standard. Alan Greenspan, the ex-head of the Fed, he's also supposed to Austrian economics, even though many people would say that he's more of a Keynesian one. Robert Zoellick, from the head of the IMF, and Lewis Lerner, who Ron Paul wrote a book with called The Case for Gold, which was, you know, who's a member of PNAC, Project for New American Century, same thing. You know, so, I mean, it's really ridiculous. I don't know. I want you guys to read this link. I could talk Ron Paul all day and how it's just it's really just a psyop.
It's going to be another big letdown like Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
Thing, guys. The Obama's thing was changed. You know, that was his whole bull crap. And what's really changed? We're still in wars. We're still, you know, taking him. Nothing's changed.
No.
Nothing's changed at all. You know what I mean? Since Bush left. It's the same thing. And that's because these guys are absolutely controlled. These are just the people they put in front of you. They're not the people that...
So you know what, Brian? We're going from change to gold-plated change.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Yeah, change to gold and silver plated change. So in other words, it's got a silver lining, we'll call it. You know, I don't know. I really there's a couple blogs that I read and I really wish people would start reading it, because it shows the fallacies. And another thing too about the gold standard, like Brian was saying earlier, we know that the Rothschilds whether you believe them to be the papal bankers or not or whatever, most people would agree with me. They have a great deal to do with the monetary supply of the world. Now, of course, they set the prices of gold, and like, you know, Brian said, they can manipulate just like they do with the markets and everything else. You know, but another thing is, and it is people like Gary North, who's a known Austrian economist, big gold pusher, and actually or Edward Griffin, one of them made the statement that over 70% of the gold that's out there is still in the ocean. Who do you think is going to find that 70% of the gold? Is it going to be people like me, Brian and Simone and people in the chat, you know, Bobby Ruggs or Truthers or Fake or, you know, no, it's not going to be us. It's not going to be some regular guy that has some, you know, it's going to be the people that have already spotted it probably years ago and are just waiting to go grab it, or, you know, it's going to be the Koch brothers, and it's going to be the, you know, the Bushes and whoever else, you know. Once, if that's true, that there really is that much gold still left in these underground and in these places, well, that's what they're doing. They're consolidating it all, and might as well, you know, so it's not going to end up in our hands anyway. So it's just more fallacies from that crowd. Yeah. I got a link. I'm just waiting for this the chat to pop back up for me so I can put it in here. I think it's pretty good. Pretty much. The link just describes how, like, the whole Austrian economics thing is really just controlled opposition type stuff. Actually, it's worth probably posting down on the site.
Good. Bottom. Anybody that just tuned in, if you scroll up a little bit in the chat, you'll see I put three links in there. Justin had written two blogs on Ron Paul, and I had written one, and I threw them all in the chat. I probably should have thrown them in the comments. I threw the video in the comments down bottom, too. If anybody wants to see the video of Ron Paul being confronted about why he supported Lamar Smith and see his ridiculous answer, I suggest you watch the video that I posted in the comments right there. You have anything else on Ron Paul, or do you want to kind of move along?
Yeah, that's it on that. You know, unless a caller had something to say about it or anything besides that. You know, so I mean, it's really, it is what it is, but anyway, you know, I wanted to touch on something real quick. I've been, something I saw a while ago, and I also put down in the comments down there. You know, I don't know, Brian, actually, can we cue this up and play this at some point? Maybe we'll wait. It's that the plane must hit Kite Steel thing from the morning of 9/11.
What, the video that you had me watching?
No, not the I'll throw it in the inbox in the thing for you. It's only a couple minutes long, but it's worth the listening to what these kids are saying.
Okay, and what exactly are these kids? These are the actual kids that were. That were at the school where George Bush was on 9/11?
Yep.
All right, that's perfect. You know what we'll do is we'll play this. It's good enough where if they don't see the video, they just see the audio, it'll be...
Yep. It's all right there. These are the kids on 9/11 in the morning in the classroom. You can see Bush sitting in the corner. And the words that they recite, the teacher, right? I'll explain it real quick so in case you can't see it. The teacher's writing them on a board and having them repeat these words: kite, plane, must hit steel. So, and this is on the same morning when they read the book called My Pet Goat, which Bush was also holding upside down at one point, you know, which it was a ritual. And if you look at these kids, they're mostly, you know, black inner city kids, And it's almost makes you wonder if that's what his little smirk was about, you know, knowing that all this is going on. And these kids, in fact, became a part of this 9/11 ritual. And if anything, that's, you know, this is the type of stuff that they get power off of.
I'm glad you brought this up, because actually when I asked you if you were all done with Ron Paul, I was going to go into a break and then segue into some 9/11 predictive programming from Hollywood. And I made up a little webpage for everybody to look to kind of look at some of the images we're going to discuss and how they put this stuff in your brain before it happens. But right now I'll play the video for everybody to listen to. It's only a 2-minute video. So we'll play the video and then we're going to take a quick break. We're just going to play a quick song and then we'll be right back and we're going to talk a little bit about 9/11 predictive programming. We're going to talk a little bit about them putting BPA in the fillings for kids' teeth. And there's a few other things we're going to get into. But everybody enjoy the video right now. You'll hear a brief song right after, and then we'll be right back about 5 minutes from now. You'll listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Get ready to read all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
Kid.
Yes. Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
Sound it out. Get ready.
Kid.
Word.
Kid.
Yes, kid. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steal.
Word.
Steal.
Yes, steal. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steal.
Yes, steal. Get ready.
Play.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Put your speaker and read up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153. Thank you. Everybody touch the title of your story. Fingers under the title. Get ready to read the title, The Fast Way. We're waiting for one member. Thank you. Fingers under the title of the story. Get ready.
I don't hear it. Do they hear it?
Yes, the pet go.
Justin, you couldn't hear?
No. Ask them if they...
I'm pretty sure everybody heard it. You guys heard that video, right? Did you hear the video, Simone? Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, they heard the video. They heard the video. All right, guys. We're just gonna take a quick break. We come back. We're gonna talk a little bit about some more 9/11 predictive programming. Before we go though, that video was pretty creepy, huh?
Really creepy.
Really creepy. I can't believe that. I can't believe I haven't heard about that until today.
I always forget when I that's something I've known probably 4 or 5 years now, but it's something I always forget when we start talking about the predictive programming and whatnot. You know what? That whole morning is something to revisit. And earlier, I posted on my wall underneath the comment, and Connie Rabasco said she was going to do a whole show on that, the esoteric and exoteric meanings of it. So on that whole, I believe on the whole morning. So it'd be interesting to tune in and see what she has to say about it. I don't know when she's doing it, but
yeah, that'd be real interesting because that's really, it's really creepy. When you guys watch the video, if you guys want, when we go to break,
I put it in the bottom in the.
Oh, all right, good. In the comments.
I'll throw it in the chat too.
I threw it in the chat already.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, if you guys want, we're gonna play a quick song and take a break. Watch the video during the break if you want for yourself. You'll see the audio is coming from that classroom. It's like somebody had a camcorder or something, and it's almost like the kids are chanting it. Right?
Yes.
It's like plane, must, hit, kite, steal. I don't know what the word kite is supposed to mean, but
here's my idea on what kite means. Now, the old thought before I was into the no plane theory was that it meant a plane flown with a controller at the ground. However, I don't believe I believe the other definition for kite would be a money transaction. And it might not have even been that. I think it also might have been the thing where it's kind of like kite being something you see overhead type thing to and I think that also has something to do with it. But it's something that it definitely has all those words have some meaning to do with it. But I believe that the kite would be a money, the money transaction that was made, and whatnot would be my guess for it. A kite, as far as urban lingo goes, a letter to or from jail with info. But maybe they're saying that's their kite. Their kite. They're letting us know by that. Because a lot of people don't understand the secret societies. One thing about them all is they feel like they have to let the public know when they're doing this stuff. Or they have to let the initiates know. So it's very, very, either that, hey, it may even have another meaning. Be interesting. Maybe Connie will have something on that. But that's all I could come to with that. I don't know. Maybe I'll do a quick search and see if I come up with anything for it. But that's all I got in that for now.
Yeah, well, while we're on that topic, guys, when we come back from the break, like I said, we're going to talk a little bit about some more 9/11 predictive programming, stuff that was happening years leading up to it, different movies, different TV shows. I got a bunch of images for you guys to look at and a couple videos to check out real quick. And the link for that page, I'll give it to you as soon as we get back from the break. Okay, guys? It's right up on the site, though. All you got to do is click it, and it'll open the page. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back in 4 minutes. You'll listen to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI, and the CIA, and the motherfucking congressman. I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI, and the CIA, and the motherfucking congressman. Can I talk to you?
Step up to the White House, let me in. What's my reason for being? I'm your next of kin, and we built this motherfucker. You wanna kill me cause my hunger, Mr. America? Young black niggas want ya. I wanna talk to the man, understand? Understand this motherfucker G-pack in my hand. Look what happened in San Fran. Young girl hit by policeman. 12 shots up in a dome dam. Niggas thought we slept, but the architects of the Pentagon's from Egypt. Government secret to 99 to 2G. Computer shutdown. What now? Extinction on Earth? Human cut down. Niggas play with PlayStations. They build the space stations on Mars. Plotting civilizations. Dissing us, discriminating different races. Taxpayers pay for more jails for black and Latin faces. Why can't they face us?
To the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA and the motherfucking congressman. I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA and the motherfucking congressman.
I'm just a black man, why I made it so hard? Damn, nigga gotta go create his own job. Mr. Mayor, imagine this was your backyard. Mr. Governor, imagine it's your kids that starve. Imagine your kids gotta sling crack to survive. Swing a Mac to be high, cardiac and get high. It's the ghetto life, yeah I celebrate it, I live it. And all I got is what you left me with, I'ma get it. And combining all the countries, we gon' do the same. Combine all the cliques to make one gang. It ain't a black and white thing, it's to make a change. Citizens of a higher plane.
I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA and the motherfucking congressman. I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA and the motherfucking congressman. I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to
before the world will blow up. Before you hear this, rewind this. 4 minutes before we timeless. Let y'all niggas bang my shit before Saddam hits. Let Nostradamus tell us what time it is. They try to buy us with dough. Fake black leaders are puppets. Always talk about the city budget. The news got it all confused. Lying to the public. They eyes watch it. Stay wise and move above it. Water floods predicted. Hurricane twisters. It's all signs of the Armageddon. Three sixes. People versus the system. Politics versus religion. Holy war. Muslim versus Christian. Niggas in high places. They don't got the balls for this. People in power sit back and watch them slaughter us. Mr. President, I assume it was negligence, but your streets are upside down. I'm here to represent.
I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA and the motherfucking congressman. I wanna talk to the mayor, to the governor, to the motherfucking president. I wanna talk to the FBI and the CIA, to the motherfucking congressman. Can I talk to you?
Can I talk to you, Mr. President? You know what I'm saying? Niggas trying to get with the computers, man. You know what I'm saying? We ain't John Henry banging down a fucking cave fighting against a machine, nigga. We want to be part of establishment, nigga. That's what we stepping up for, you know what I mean? Ain't no cartoon out here, you know what I mean? This shit is real.
Let us know what the fuck is going on.
Total package in this, nigga. Total package LES in this, nigga.
You're about to wreck it.
Ill will, niggas. Fucking the track up, you know what I'm saying? Nigga, I'm Mr. President, fucking it up on the keyboard to the establishment. Niggas is with it. Niggas American, baby.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us during the brief break there. I'm Brian Stavely. I'm here with Justin Cook. Justin?
Yeah, I'm here. I just had to get off mute.
All right, cool. Before we got into the break, we played a little video there. What's the name of that video again, Justin?
What do you mean, the name of what video?
The video with the classroom with George Bush there that we just watched with the school kids.
I don't know. It's just, what's it? It's not really called anything. I guess you just call it, like, the ritual one. It's called Kite Plane Must Hit Steel.
Yeah. Well, besides just that, guys, before 9/11 happened, they started putting a bunch of things in Hollywood, in different TV shows, different movies, and they took some things away too. It's funny for those of you guys that remember the TV show Friends. That was a big TV show, wasn't it? That was like number one TV show, Justin, wasn't it? Like real big, like as big as almost anything, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah, I would
for a while.
Next to Seinfeld, it was number two in the 90s.
Yeah, well. They actually used to show the Twin Towers in their intro, and it had the look, you know, they looked like they looked in real life. Like, they were black, glassy-looking buildings, real, like, reflective. When you see everything on 9/11, like, and we've gone down this whole road before about 9/11, about the CGI that was used, and they even showed us some CGI towers and everything. And, you know, we can get into that, you know, on another show, and we can go through all that stuff again. But on Friends, they actually made them get rid of the intro. And a couple years leading up to 9/11, they replaced the intro that they already had of the towers with a totally different look, with a total look like you were going to see on 9/11. They look like this grayish color all washed out, and it just looked so fake. I wanted to actually show that to you guys. If you guys just scroll down a little bit below the chat, you'll see a picture that I screen grabbed, that the thing I talked about earlier with Jim Fetzer when he deleted my comment. Right underneath that, there's a red link. It says, to view the 9/11 predictive programming images from Hollywood we are discussing, click here. It's right underneath the picture that's below the chat. I want you guys to click on that. You won't lose this page. Now, when you get there, you're going to see a bunch of pictures, and I'm just going to kind of go through them. Justin, do you have the link? Do you know where we're at?
Hold on. Where are you sending me?
I'll throw it in the chat.
Hold on a second.
It's or your Skype chat, whatever's easier for you. It's there, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going there now.
All right. Now, guys, when you get to that page, we'll start with the first image. Every image, if you click on it, it'll bring up the caption. So I want you guys to just click on them. It'll make them it'll put them in a little bigger on your screen, and it'll put a caption up for you. The first one, okay? Now, the reason we're going through this, you know, is to show you that there was extreme foreknowledge of this event. They were planning it for a very, very long time. Some of these movies are actually pretty old. And they try and embed this in your brain that way when it happens in real life, or it allegedly happens, they want you to believe that it happens. It's already in your subconscious. You're already used to it. All right? The first one, now this one's, you know, not the biggest one by any means, but it's definitely worth looking at. You see a picture of a bridge, and it says, caution, 9/11. Now, before we even get into what scene this is, I mean, since when do you ever see that on a bridge? You always see, like, 10 feet, 12 feet, right, Justin? Do you ever see 9/11?
Yeah, no, not too often. I mean, see a 9-foot bridge, no. Nine feet, you're getting to a regular truck with an antenna would be coming. You know, it's normally just for big rigs and shit like that in an area, yeah. You know.
Yeah, and then the thing about it is below, I posted the video, too. You guys can check it out after. I posted the actual video of this scene. This is from Terminator 2. And this is when the liquid Terminator is driving the big, huge Mack truck, and he's chasing John Connor, who's on a dirt bike. And John Connor goes through this tunnel, and the guy ends up actually slamming the big rig into the column in the middle and blowing it up, right where it says caution 9/11. Now, some people might say that's a little bit of a stretch, right? Let's go to the next picture. I mean, just look at the next one. That's from the movie Armageddon. I haven't seen the movie myself, but I guess it's about meteors hitting the Earth or something. And look at the World Trade. Look at the World Trade Center. How reminiscent of 9/11 is that? You see that image, Justin?
Yep. Insane.
Look at the towers. One's blown up at the top. The other one's got a big hole in the side of it.
Yeah.
It's been hit twice, just like, you know, on 9/11. Not in the exact same spots, but I mean, it's close enough, you know.
Yeah. Totally.
We go over to the next picture. Neo from The Matrix. His passport expires on September 1st, 2001. I mean, are these just coincidences? I I don't think so. All right. Next one we have a boy in a sweater from The Shining. He's got the towers on his his sweater, and it looks like there's explosions going off in the sky. And this is wasn't this movie a Stanley Kubrick movie, Justin?
Yes, it was. A guy who was very much in the know and very much involved in secret societies.
Somebody
we already
might,
talked about,
you know,
him with the moon hoax episode and everything, and how we believe he was, you know, most likely tied into it and whatnot, and he was known for this stuff. He loved to put this stuff in the movies. So I mean, and you're talking 70s here with The Shining. So I mean, you know, I would say that the deepest occultists knew in the 70s, not too long after they were built. You know, I think that obviously they didn't finish the floors for a reason. You know, they and obviously, you know, there's some other possible things. I don't want to get into the other discoveries yet or anything, but you know, it just makes sense. But I think in the 97, I think when we saw the when they pretended to fill up with tenants, is my opinion of when they really started to let the people a little bit farther down the you know, where they kind of started really going at it was like 97, you know, started really putting the pre-programming in movies for it and everything else.
Yeah,
you know, that's my opinion anyway. I don't know, maybe might have started in 93 with the first bombing, but I think that 97 was when they let people relax for a couple of years. That of course set the stage for Muslim terrorism. And the thought that they wanted to take down capitalism and the fact that these buildings represented it and everything, and they made sure we knew that it was, you know, a Muslim, whether it was a FBI informant, one that, you know, supposedly has the FBI on tape talking about it, or whatever the case may be with that, you know, it got it in the public's mind that these people wanted to take these landmarks down and take down America. You know, I'm surprised they didn't take down the Statue of Liberty, besides the fact that it probably is some type of big occult thing that I don't think they'll ever take down until, you know, maybe until they're actually consider themselves totally in the New World Order. Maybe that will be it. Who knows?
Yeah, you would have thought they might take that down, because that would have left a real sour taste in a lot of people's mouth. That would have got the patriotism going right away through the roof, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I mean, you know, but then again, that's something given to the U.S. by France. It was a big Freemason thing. That's the only reason they might. But no, like you said, that is the number one thing that people think of. And, you know, not even to really get on that, but. You know, you look at the Statue of Liberty, and you have the torchbearer, which again is Lucifer as the torchbearer. You know, and you have this woman with a halo overhead, which is similar to, or the crown, you know, which is similar to the rings around Saturn. You know, it's we can get into the Statue of Liberty another time. But continue on with your what you're saying.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll go to the next. We'll go right to the next picture, because I know people want to get through these and see them, and then we'll go off a little bit about some other things. Guys, you see the one right in the middle, the one that says Friends on it. That's the original Friends intro. Okay. I know it's at nighttime, so it's a little harder to tell, but it's a totally different intro. Now, go and click on the picture to the right. A few years leading up to 9/11. This is what they changed the intro to. Look how fake that looks. Look at come on, man. That's the way the towers looked on 9/11. They had that computer simulated look to it. Look at them. Like, they're all gray and washed out looking. Almost looks like they have no windows. They look gray and windowless. That's how I explain it to people in all the 9/11 videos. There's another one I posted from Friends. I think it might actually be the same picture.
It is the same picture.
It is the same picture. I didn't realize it when I did that. But yeah, they actually made them change their intro. That way, when 9/11 came and they ran what they ran over the air, when you saw it, it looked familiar to you. It didn't look like it was out of place. Because if you had still been looking at the real towers all these years, you know, you might think something was up. Something was funny there. I think that's really telling, them changing their intro like that. What do you think about that, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just as much as anything else, you know, it's definitely pretty weird that they made sure they included it in both of them too. You know, like you said, I don't know. I would like to get
Nick,
some.
Big Nick from New York said they don't even look like the towers in the chat.
Yeah, you know what? I definitely take his word for it. Take your word for it. I would definitely like to see other angles of that shot. You know, that's, you know, and I'm sure what we'd see would be more like, you know, the one we see in the first one. You know, that whole shuttery system too makes you wonder if that was in place or what. But regardless, it does look like they were very, like you said, windowless. You know, it looks like, you know,
just
very.
The way they look in all the 9/11. They look that way in all the 9/11 videos, all of them.
Yeah, no, all you're right.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, years before they started leading up to 9/11, they looked different in the Friends intro, and then they made
right.
it change.
That one was 97 as well, too, right? When that changed, or what, 96?
Yeah,
like
I think
that.
It was. I was thinking, I forget the exact year, but I think it was like 97. Cause I was thinking to myself, it was like three or four years before they changed it. And guys, just look at the picture on the right there in the middle column. On the right, the middle row. I mean, does that look real to you? Let's use your head. Seriously, does that look real to you? That's a lot of the bullcrap that they showed us on 9/11. Look at that. They made that with a computer. That's not a real picture of New York. It's bullcrap. We got one more to show. In the bottom row in the middle. I want you guys to click on it. It's like a little moving image. You're going to see the twin towers disintegrating in the Super Mario Brothers movie. This was in the 90s. Ridiculous. I mean, this see how they get you used to it by putting it in all these movies? And there's a lot more, too. Independence Day, for instance. They show the Empire State Building getting blown up from the top down. only in the matter of like 4 seconds, but still, from the top down, just like what happened on 9/11. And it never happens. Buildings never blow up from the top down.
Yeah, no, there's a lot more to it. I don't know, Brian, if you can, I don't know if you can post the thing, you probably can't right now. You'd have to go into the website or whatever. The one I just gave to you in the chat.
In the Skype chat?
Yeah, the file I sent to you in the Skype chat. Did you open that and look at it? It's supposedly some, some Spanish magazine that appeared, I believe. And it's just I saw a bunch of examples today. I should have copied the exact thing. It was a Facebook thing, and it was called 9/11 conspiracy or or whatever. And it had all these, had a few ones I haven't seen. And that was one of the ones I did grab that one, but.
Yeah, I don't know how I have it saved as a document. I don't know how I would upload it to the thing right now while we're live. But a lot of movies that was in. I'm trying to think what other movies I saw that they had 9/11 references. You guys would see it everywhere though. It's not a coincidence. And they do that so that way, you know, for a lot of reasons, to make you accept it when it happens, make it more believable. You know what I mean? That's basically why they do it.
Yeah.
Some of it might be even just because they want to laugh in your face. They rub it in a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't doubt it, you know? These are sick people that would actually pull off a scam like that, you know?
Huh. That's weird. Frighting Lightning is saying the little kid's sweater's been photoshopped. Well, Frightening Lightning, do you know what it really said on his shirt then? Or oh, that's right, the real picture has an Apollo picture on it. That's right. That's right, and that came out during our Moon Hulk special too. That's right.
Yeah, that's right. So somebody photoshopped this?
Yeah, someone photoshopped it just to make it jive with the 9/11 thing. So. I guess we could scrap that. Yeah, thanks for that one.
For letting us know.
We do make mistakes too, and of course, a lot of things you know you do see on the net, you know. But we're not afraid to admit that, you know, here and there. Look what Simone's talking about. And by the way, too, I have seen the Trade Center, and to tell you the truth, I don't remember them being that gray, but. You know, that's it's all an opinion thing. I believe, you know, between us, I remember them being more of the more silvery type, if anything, more, you know, glassy. I don't remember them being gray like that other picture. But Simone, read Simone's comments and Stephanie's comments actually. She took a panoramic photo of the wall everyone wrote on after 9/11 fell and. I'll read the whole thing. I took a panoramic photo of the wall everyone wrote on, and someone had written on it a picture of one of the towers, and beside it, they wrote, "Oh, ye anti-Semite." Hmm. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it is.
I wonder who that was meant for and who wrote it, you know?
What else did you want to get into tonight?
I don't know. Why don't we take a quick break? I gotta let my cat out real quick. And you know what we could talk about real quick before I let the cat out, actually? The thing we were talking about earlier, and I saw in the news tonight, that they did a study on the bisphenol A fillings, which are used, I believe, nowadays, or they're saying are used nowadays in people's tooth fillings. And, you know, bisphenol A, as we know, actually, it's been outlawed in Connecticut, for one, which is actually, for once, Connecticut actually did something decent, but, and it's going to be outlawed eventually, probably around the country, but, you know, as we know, that's it's a gender bender. It's been known to give women, you know, ovarian cancer and breast cancer and everything else, and lower men's sperm counts and not many other things. But now they're saying these kids that have these fillings are, you know, showing signs of ADHD, anxiety, and all this other stuff. We're talking about young kids here. So, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, there's something wrong with that. And once again, it just goes along with the whole, you know, the whole slow kill scam.
I'm glad you brought that up to me today, because I hadn't heard about that. And I'm somebody that gets a lot of fillings in their teeth. And lately, even though a couple times the dentist wanted to use metal, I told him I didn't want metal in my mouth anymore. And I've been getting the composite, and now you're telling me I might be getting BPA in it. So it's might not be any better for me than the metal ones.
We got to check up the holistic way.
Yeah.
I'm glad
you brought that up, though.
I was watching the mainstream 5 o'clock news or whatever, 6 o'clock news, and they were talking about it, and I found that pretty interesting. And, you know, bisphenol A is something that we definitely have been talking about for years, screaming about for years. And finally, it's one of those things where they're going to pretend that they give a fuck about the public, and they're going to get rid of, you know, they're going to, you know, get rid of it. And, of course, the companies that put it in the plastic are saying that it's not bad for you and nothing's wrong. But, you know, that's what happens with big corporations and globalists and people that, you know, don't care about you or I. So,
yep. All right, we'll take a quick break. You can do what you need to do. We'll be right back in 4 minutes, guys. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely and Justin Cook.
Sometimes you just know.
The nigga from going under, and you wonder why I pat you on your head and smile, look in your eyes and thank the Lord for my child. Meanwhile, there's something I gotta show you, and I hope you can take it. Gotta leave you in the desert, and I hope that you make it. Gotta put you on your ass to see what it does to you. When you stand up, you see that I'm just showing love to you. Other niggas will put a slug through you over your ends. Cats, I fuck with it real, but hey, those are your friends. It's just what you got coming. Sometimes you don't know what you asking for, yet you ask for more. Shut the casket door, it's when here, it is done. Thought you was a killer, you swore you'd never run. Nigga died with his gun, still up in the holster. It's coming in the air, yeah, it's getting closer. Truckloads, fleeing to the morgue. Full moon, ow, the howling, the growling.
hand for the love. I can smell it in the air. I can tell when it's there. This is hell and we both here. Can you feel it? Tell me, yeah.
Everybody, thank you for sticking with us during the break. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio with Brian Stavely, Justin Cook. You have anything else you want to say on the predictive programming, Justin? I could talk about this for a little while. Justin, you with us? Well, he must not be with us yet, guys. What else did I want to say about this? It's everywhere, guys, okay? I mean, that me putting together that little group of photos right there, that only took about, you know, a half hour to do that. I mean, if you spent a few hours digging up images where they gave predictive programming in 9/11, it's all over the place. It's in all types of movies, all types of TV shows. That was just a few examples. And we do apologize about the picture with the boy with the sweater. I totally forgot about the Apollo thing being on there. And we talked about that during our moon show, too. I should have remembered that. That was a couple months ago. Yeah, I guess somebody played a joke and put an image of the towers on there, because the real image showed an Apollo rocket. But like I was saying, the 9/11 predictive programming is everywhere. All types of movies. Big budget movies like Independence Day, like I was saying before the break. Big TV shows like Friends. They changed the actual intro and made it look like it would look on 9/11. It's quite amazing, you know? See, Justin, are you back here yet? Must still be out. The other things I wanted to address tonight, all right, I just wanted to address a little situation on somebody that's been attacking me a lot. And I didn't want to spend too much time on this. I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on it. You know, we used to always plug Let's Roll forums. And we used to think it was a good place to research things. And their administrator has, for no good reason at all, just totally turned against us and started attacking us. And it's getting to the point where I need to address it. Because, you know, I've been quiet about this for like 3 months. And this guy's actually on his website having people set up fake accounts. And then they start arguing with him and he bans them. And then he tells everybody that it's me. He tells everybody that there can be no doubt this is Brian Stavely. They've sent people over to my blog. If you guys have read my blog, you guys know a little history about this maybe already. But, you know, now today he's saying, you know, that I mean, I'm talking about Phil Jahan from Let's Roll Forums. Now today he's saying that me and Justin are the new 9/11 trolls, and he's even gone as far as saying that I choreographed the 9/11 videos with Simon Shack. Me personally, like I'm the one that made the CGI videos. I mean, how ridiculous is that, you know, guys? And this whole thing started over. And the only reason I'm addressing this is because the guy's got a forum with like 4,000 members on it. Okay. And I'm out here speaking the truth with Justin. We're just a couple of regular guys that don't have, you know, a filter and we're not gatekeepers, and we just want to get to the bottom of everything, honestly, okay? And this guy actually, it started a long time ago, maybe about January, when I tried to show him some CGI collapse footage, and he told me that we're not going to make this an effing shrine to Simon Shack. And I said, Phil, those videos didn't even come from Simon Shack. They came from somebody named Joe Crane on YouTube. And he flipped out, and then I asked him if he's even seen September Clues. And you know what he told me? Now, here's a guy that's been in the truth movement for I don't know how many years. Almost the whole time since 9/11, I'm sure. And he's had a big website for a long time. He actually told me, no, he hasn't seen it. And he has a rivalry, you know, supposedly with Simon Shack. They have this little thing where they don't like each other, okay? And so he just totally flipped on me. Now, just so you guys know, I had built Let's Roll Forums. I had built them a radio station called The Last American Radio Broadcast because Phil wanted to do shows to get the message out about 9/11. So I built a radio station for them from scratch. I had no idea how to do it. It took me weeks and weeks to do it. And I got it up, got it running. You know what I mean? I built the website, everything. I even paid for the website, okay? And, you know, this guy's attitude started to change towards me. Now, I was on there doing radio shows 5 days a week, okay? 5 days a week doing radio shows and plugging the hell out of Let's Roll Forums all the time, okay? Now, a few months goes by, and, you know, I'm starting to realize, you know, there was a lot more than just the planes that were fake that day, okay? I'm starting to realize that a lot of the collapse footage that they showed us was not real. And I'm going to grab you guys a video in a second to show you. Justin, are you here? I don't know what happened to my co-host. Now, like I was saying, this guy's whole attitude started to change. So, anyways, I was lucky enough to meet up with the maker of September Clues on YouTube. I had commented on a Jason Burmes clip that I've played it for you guys already before. Jason Burmes trying to debunk September Clues, and he sounds like a total moron. He sounds like a total idiot. He's a big-time gatekeeper. Anybody listening, just so you guys know, Alex Jones, Jason Burmes, Luke Radowski, those guys are all frauds, okay? I could go on about those guys forever, okay? I could go on about them forever. But anyways, we're trying to get to the point here, all right? The actual maker of September Clues, his name is Simon Shack, and he actually commented, you know, on the video too, and I had made a comment after, and we got to talking, and I eventually, you know, got him to agree to come on the radio show. So, you know, well, now, out of all the documentaries I've seen for 9/11, guys, out of all of them, that's the only one that's really close to the truth. Now, granted, they didn't know the extent of the fake images. Frightening Lightning wrote, Simon Shack, Phil Jahan's beef was faker than Jay-Z versus Nas. Oh, it really was Frightening Lightning. Wait till I get to what I'm about to get to. So anyways, I got to talking with Simon Shack, and I got to get him on the show. And I let him go, you know, tell his whole story. And by this time, I had, you know, I had used his forum a lot, too. And I'll tell you guys, the people there can be harsh, so you might not even want to sign up and talk to them because they attack everybody pretty much.
Yep.
But there's great information on there. There really is. If you can just deal with not dealing with the personalities over there, the website's a gold mine of information. All right? So anyways, After we had, you know, Simon Shack on the show and we let him tell his whole side of the story about, you know, about everything about all his thoughts about 9/11, we let him go on for a couple of hours. Right, Justin? We let him really have the floor, right? And he made a little comment about Phil real quick. And all he said is he said there's a lot of good researchers at Let's Roll, but the owner of that website's a bit strange. And that's all he said. Now, we already know that they have a beef. Now, I felt in the best interest of the show, the best thing to do would be not even respond. Now, you know, because we got Simon on the show. Phil's not there to defend himself. And I don't want my whole show becoming, you know, a battle of them two. You know what I mean? I wanted to get good 9/11 information out. Talk about the video. Talk about the movie. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So we just let it go. Well, sure enough, Phil pretty much lost it after that. And he got all pissed off that, you know, we didn't jump to his defense, okay? So anyways, he calls me one night, okay? Now, this is a guy I used to talk to on the phone a lot. I thought I could trust this guy. But I started to notice things about him, you know, back in January, okay? So, and I mentioned it to Justin a few times. Remember, you thought maybe it just was his ego at first. But it's a lot more than just his ego. You know what I mean? So anyways, I'm trying not to make this too long of a story. But Phil calls me one night on the phone, and he was drunk. And he calls me, and he starts telling me that the town next to me, he's been studying the satellite imagery all night. And the town next to me, Drake at Mass, only, and I know Simone's going to laugh because she's from around here. She's going to laugh when she hears this. He actually told me that there's only 1,100 residents there. And I said, Phil, you're out of your mind. There's 30,000 people that live there. My best friend lives there. I get my hair cut over there. I go to the gym there. It's a bustling little town. He basically called me a liar. He tried to show me some bullshit website that would have said that the residency was only 1,100, and it didn't even say that anywhere on there. And so I told him, I said, Phil, you know, I could go to the high school tomorrow and find 1,100 students. I mean, I could name you 10 streets off the top of my head that have more than 300 houses, okay? And you know what the guy says to me? Now, this is to discredit me is what he was trying to do. He was trying to get me to run with this, you know? And what this would have done is totally discredited anybody around here with me. Like, they would never listen to anything I have to say after this. He must have had a list in front of him of all the towns that were around me, okay? He starts naming them off, and he tells me that all the kids are bussed in from other cities. Like, the high school's fake and everything. It's totally ridiculous. Justin, don't you think that's just absolutely, absolutely ridiculous?
Yeah, from what I've heard about it and everything, it just, to me, you know, why again? You would need to bust in the students too. I mean, I don't know, it just sounds a little silly to me. I mean, you know, and obviously I'm not from there. I can't say I've ever been to Drake it, but I don't know. To me, it just seems like a little too far to go to have a fake town or, you know, whatever. And I've talked to you enough times, and you've said, hey, I'm in Drake it right now, or, you know, or I'm at my buddy's house. And, you know,
my buddy's apartment building has more than 300 units.
That almost be like, like someone telling me, like, you know, that the town next to me, you know, East Haven or whatever is, you know, it's just, it has 2,000 people in it. In reality, it's got, you know, 30,000-40,000 people in it. I can picture it the same way, you know, the way you explained it to me. I'm sure I'll see it for myself at some point, but, you know, it's just totally, you know, it's totally unbiased. It'd be like the same thing if I was to say that around here, you know.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, Justin, there's 30,000 people that live there. You could Google it. I mean, it'll come up everywhere. You'll get numbers like 29,000, 30,000, 30,500, you know, 29,000 something. It's always right there, right next to 30,000, okay? This guy's out of his mind, all right? So anyways, guys, the reason I'm bringing this up, okay, is because after this happened and he tried to get me to run with this bullshit story, I started ignoring his phone calls for a few days, okay? I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't feel like talking to him. I didn't want to deal with that. I finally seen what he was all about, what he was trying to do, okay? We were getting too close to the truth, and he didn't like that, okay? So this was his way to try and discredit me. So needless to say, right? This is what happened next, guys. This is good stuff. He starts emailing me, asking me if I'm his enemy, asking me if I want to go to warfare with him. All this nonsense, guys. So I just totally ignore him. all right? I don't even want to deal with it. I don't even want to respond to him, okay? So what does he do? He starts emailing Justin, too. And then he waits until the night we do a radio show. We're doing the Moon Hoax, okay? The night we did the Moon Hoax, it was about 3 months ago. Now, he sat in and listened to the show, and then he writes on the comments, okay, for everybody to see that's here, listen to the show. We had about 20 live listeners that night. He writes in the comments, nice promotion of Alex Jones, guys. Now this is just absolutely getting ridiculous. And I still didn't say anything to him. Then he had the balls to actually, this is just will blow your mind, okay? He told me he had a witness to the Hollow Towers, and it was some kid that, like, wandered off when he was on a tour. Now, I don't really buy that at all anyways. But seeing that, you know, how much I care about 9/11, if that was the truth, he actually had the balls, after attacking me for a week and attacking me on our website, to ask me if I would produce the show with the kid with the, you know, that he supposedly had this witness. Now, because I care about 9/11 so much, and without even wanting to talk to this guy, and after he asked me if I wanted to go to warfare, call me his enemy, all this bullshit, right? I said, sure, Phil. I sent him an email back. I said, sure, Phil. I'll do the show for you. So what does he do? I go to bed. About 10 hours later, I open up the chat on Let's Roll, and he's been trashing me all night, telling everybody that I won't give him the codes to the website, and the interview can't go on because of Brian Stavely, and he's been trying to ask me for 20 days or something ridiculous to do this show, which is an absolute lie. So I was just going to try and just totally ignore this guy, but he's still attacking me on his website. I just don't want anybody to buy into any of the bullcrap that he says. They actually came over. Now, these are people that investigate 9/11, right? So, if you're going to be a serious investigator, you have to source your material, right? I mean, especially if you're going to make accusations. Phil's actually making accusations saying that my father contributed to Jim Moganowski, the pilot of Flight 11's brother, Jim. John was the pilot. Jim is his brother. He actually tried to say that my father contributed to his campaign, and that's my connection to 9/11, and I'm a 9/11 agent and all this stuff. Guys, I am far from a 9/11 agent, okay? First of all, that's about the funniest thing I've ever heard. Second of all, these guys that are so deep into the research and make all these long forum posts, and there was definitely some good legitimate research over there, definitely.
Oh, yeah. But, oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt. But then again, you know, Brian asked him for some, you know, some evidence, or, you know, I asked him for some evidence too when he tried presenting it to me. I said, "Well, give me a URL to go off. Give me something to go off here if you're going to make this accusation." Nothing, crickets. You know, so I mean it's and then, you know, and I'm being accused of being an agent of trying to take down Let's Roll Forums. Now, I've done nothing but praise Let's Roll Forums. You know, I've obviously, you know, even while this is going on, I've a few times on the air, I've said, you know, that I appreciate the research that has been done there and whatever. And then, you know, now I'm being brought up as a shill too. And Brian's being, you know, and at some point, you know, we were going to, you know, not talk about this for a while. Brian wrote his blog, you know, whatever. And that was it. And, you know, he wanted to get his side of the story out, which, you know, I totally respect, totally understand. But this guy has made it continuously and swears that we're part of some team that is trying to take down his forum. And it's the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life because, you know, and he said, well, why do you, you know, asked me why I stopped by there. Because, you know, like anything else, a lot of times I'll be on Twitter, I'll be on Google and looking for information on a certain subject. If it comes up that it's Let's Roll Forums, well, hey, I'm going to go there for that piece of information, and I'm going to discern for myself whether it's right or wrong. And, you know, so I pop in every now and then. And, you know, and like I said, I have nothing against the research there. You know, but, it, you know, but it come to him seeing my IPs. He watches IPs like a hawk. turned me into all of a sudden now I'm an agent trying to divide 9/11 truth and trying to do that. And it's just totally unfounded and just garbage, you know, stuff, just as garbage as the accusations he made at Brian and didn't include a link or nothing. Like, this is, you know, for something like that, that's a serious accusation. Like, I would want to see, you know, the link. I would want to see a picture, you know, something. Give me something. Yeah.
I mean, these are guys that study 9/11, and anytime we've ever gotten pictures of anything, like of the towers or anything, we always make sure we know where it came from. Same thing with any videos. You always make sure you source that your material. And these guys actually come on my website, and this is what he says. I'll try and bring up the comment in a few. He actually comes on my website. He has his little minions that work for him, Dr. Fubar and Due to Read Propaganda. There's a few of them that are moderators over there that.
None that use their real name, though. So
yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah, none of them use their real name.
He's the only one that uses his real name. The rest of them are all sock puppets and have no problem being, you know, and that's crazy. I mean, even here with our listeners, I think I know almost all your real names. You know what I mean? To me, it sounds funny when you go to these forums and you have these people making attacks on people like Brian and I, yet we're out there, you know, putting our name on the line, putting our necks on the line and everything else. Not putting our necks on, I'm not saying like Alex Jones that they want to kill me or in Brian or anything like that. But, you know, again, you know, some of the information that we're presenting is a little bit out there. And you know, and for us to not go by aliases or anything, and I would say that counts for something. I mean, you can see that we're real people. We go to work every day like the rest of you do, and you know, we're just trying to get to the bottom of some of these little mysteries that have been going on, just like you guys are. And to be accused of being an agent is so offensive to us, because it's like, you know, if I was an agent, I wouldn't be living in my mother's basement still. You know, I would be out in, you know, in a nice plush apartment at least. Come on, you know.
You want to hear how ridiculous the accusations are, guys? Read the chat right now. Look what I just posted. Now, rather than leaving a link or leaving any proof, Dr. Fubar tells you to Google Oganowski, and then if you Google a little further, you'll see my father's name. And it's like, come on, man. Who says that? Like, why wouldn't you just leave the link? Look at this. I posted in the chat right here. People, if you Google 11 Flight 11 John Oganowski, you will find automatically that his younger farm brother, Jim Oganowski. If you Google a bit further, you will see that Jim Oganowski ran a congressional campaign in 2007-2008. What a coincidence. You will find the name of Kevin S. Stavely. Anybody got a clue here? Just asking. Are Brian and Kevin related? Roll some eyes. Greets Dr. Fu. And then he writes the word wink. Like, what a fact, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, guys. If they really had something on me and they really wanted to come at me, why wouldn't you just actually put the link at what you're looking at so people can look at it? Obviously, they got nothing. I mean, come on. This is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I didn't even want to spend time on a show addressing this, guys, but I'm sorry. I've let it go for like 3 months, okay? And this guy's still attacking me. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, like I said, he's setting up fake accounts and having them get in arguments with him and then banning them and saying that it's me. That's just ridiculous. And then he's telling everybody I'm a 9/11 agent. He's the 9/11 agent. He's the one that has an excuse for everything, like that was CGI. Like, he'll tell you they threw latex dummies out the window. He'll tell you they dropped the dust cloud off the roof. As soon as I started getting into the fake video type of stuff, the guy, I seen a total change in his attitude towards me. Okay, and I went on there today. Now he banned me. He banned me, Justin, and he banned another researcher, James Sloan, who's been on there for like five years.
I wasn't banned. I was dropped from moderator status to reader status. I'm probably banned now. I haven't even checked there since any new developments, but I just want to put that out. I wasn't banned, but him and James were James. Now, I had been a member there probably 3 or 4 years, and now as long as I had been there, I remember seeing Linksland, who is James, there just as long. you know, and he was always contributing and everything else. So, I mean, he threw two mods totally out, IP banned him, and then got rid of my moderator status. I told him recently, I said, you know, if you have a problem with anything, just ban me, because it seems like you're going to keep, you know, attacking me in chat, attacking me, you know, wherever. And it came to the point where and Brian's wanted to talk about it, and I said, well, you know, let's just put it on the back burner, because, you know, if anything, it's he's giving us, if people are realizing that he's a little iffy, then he's giving us, free advertisement here. But, you know, there's only so much that you can see him put out and not even answer back. I mean, this is probably going to be the last time that we even address this. But, Brian thought it was important. I thought it was important to at least defend ourselves in the one venue that we, you know, that we do have, which is, you know, our radio and the site, of course. But, obviously, and if you see the comments are right up there on the site. We haven't removed anything. It's not like we have anything to hide that anyone's, you know, it's just craziness. I don't know. I don't know how.
Oh, yeah. The guy's a total dirtbag. You know what else he did, guys? He just totally lies about everything. So first he lies to everybody on the forum and says it's my fault the show's not going to go on, even though I told him I'd do it the night before. I even have the emails. That's why I ended up posting the emails in the blog, because I had to. I had to. Anyways, so I made a post on his forum defending myself. And he actually, because I talked about him and his ridiculous hollow Drake theory about the town next to me being like a fake town, and it's totally absolutely absurd. Because I wrote that on his forum, he told people that I published personal phone calls. Like, I recorded him secretly and played it for people to hear. That's what he actually told people. And it was nothing of at all like that. What I'm not allowed to talk about what he said to me. So I made this big, long post defending myself. So what does he do? See, Simone's laughing right now. Hollow Drake it. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Right, Simone? Absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know what? No, let's not jump to conclusions. Simone may be a sock puppet. She may be hollow herself. I think Simone is a fake person. We haven't, you know, so you know what? Maybe she's part of Stavely and Oganowski campaign, I guess. That's, yeah. Is that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, Simone. We know it's a bullcrap story. We don't even have to talk about it, really. I mean, it's ridiculous. But do you see how he was trying to get me to run with that? And if I ran with that story, everybody around here would laugh at me and never believe anything I have to say about 9/11. And that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to discredit me. Now, guys, I've let this go for like months. I I just wanted to ignore it. But it's been like 3 months, and the guy's still bashing us on his website. And today he put a whole new thing up there about us, and I'll pull it up in a few minutes after we get back from our next break, and I'll post it up in the comments for everybody to see. It's absolutely ridiculous, and he's accusing. He actually started a thread called 9/11, the Hollow Towers, Simon Shack, and the 9/11 trolls. Okay, and he actually says that me, Simon Shack, Justin, and this other guy are all part of the same team, and we're trying to take down Let's Roll forums and all this ridiculous stuff. And I'm sorry, guys. I got to respond now. I got to defend myself. If anybody out there that's actually listened to this show, a lot of you guys have listened for many weeks. You guys know we don't have anything to hide, okay? Those guys over there, Phil's the gatekeeper, okay? I mean, I'm sorry. I don't like to throw the names out there like shill this and that and all this stuff, but something has to be said now, okay? It took a long time to realize it, but this guy's a gatekeeper, and he's really gone. He's come at me hard, guys. I'm sorry. I had to bring it up tonight. I mean, I go over there every like week or two to check, and there's something new written about me. He's banning people, saying that they're me, and it's absolutely absurd. He banned James Sloan. Well, James Sloan had been on there for 5 years, okay, maybe even longer. He's one of the top researchers on there, okay? The guy, he's really smart. He's actually a young guy. He's a lot younger than me. He's only like in his young, mid or early 20s. A really smart guy. He's done many radio shows himself with Phil. And I used to do shows 5 days a week. And Phil had, and I built a radio station. And he had the audacity, to say that I never did anything for Let's Roll forums. I mean, that's just absolutely ridiculous. I was out here on the ground running around getting birth certificates and tax records on people and going to archive buildings and looking for people in the yearbook for victims and all types of stuff. So for him to say that, and I built a radio station, it's just absolutely ridiculous, okay? And the reason he banned James Sloan, all he did is back me up. All he did is back me up in the chat one time. And he got IP banned too. We were both banned from the site indefinitely, like, you know, forever, you know, for good. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this guy is still bad mouthing me. He was bad mouthing us today. And yeah. Jim Fetzer is, you know, people are asking about Fetzer in the chat. Because it was actually Stephanie that I went to show the comment to. And she told me it wasn't there, and luckily I still had the window open. Stephanie, I don't know if you heard earlier, but if you scroll down right below the chat, there's the comment right there. It's a lot clearer than it was on Facebook. If you just hold the control key and hit your plus sign, it'll zoom in as many times as you need to, and then you'll be able to read the comment. I'll just read it out loud again for anybody that's listening. The comment I left on Fetzer's site, not to jump around too much. I know we were talking about the whole Let's Roll situation. But, guys, just be careful with that, okay? You can definitely get some information from there, but you should know that the guy that's running it's no good. He's no good. And he's gone on an absolute campaign to discredit us. And he's calling me and Justin 9/11 agents. That's really insulting, Justin, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. Now, you know what you didn't touch on, though? Was how he the whole fake war between him and Simon as well, and that whole thing, and how he started on us about having Simon on, and then
they're
both friends.
Right,
they can both post on each other's sites and everything, and you know, and you know, just the whole thing about told you he never watched Clues and he was pushing it. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I just, if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that. So, guys, after, you know, he attacked me and started flipping out on me and saying, this isn't going to be an effing shrine to Simon Shack, tells me he's never watched Clues. Right after he bans me off the site, he actually becomes like buddies with Simon again, and he actually plugs his movie now. He actually plugs his movie. It says it's a must-see movie. Everybody needs to watch it. And this is after he basically banned me for having Simon on the show, was one of the biggest reasons. You know, that and the whole Hall of Draca thing and me ignoring him for a while. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. So then they have this fake feud. And, I mean, I don't know if it's fake or real, but I'll tell you what. It doesn't look real to me. Because, you know, then Simon's inviting him to his house. And now they were acting buddy-buddy. But now, you know, 2 weeks later, they're already at it again. Phil's accusing Simon of, I don't know, doing something, posting something on the chat. And I don't know. And now they're all at each other again.
It's a big clusterfuck. But the main thing about it, to be honest, is like they pulled this whole thing on you know, right after we had signed. You know, it just seemed like they're working in tandem. If I don't know, it's just really fishy stuff. From both, just the way Brian was attacked over at Clues, also just the whole thing of it after we've done nothing but good for both forums too, and that was the thing, you know, that we set out to do, because we knew both of these forums had good information, and nobody, you know, there was no radio voices putting this stuff out, you know, and so that was, you know, part of what we wanted to do. And
I feel that they almost do that on purpose. They keep it in house. And
exactly.
I feel that me and you were reaching too many people with a real message, so they had to out us. And guys, like Justin said, right after we had Simon on the show, you know, and the show went good and everything, and we let the guy say everything he wanted to say, you should have seen how I got attacked on the September Clues Forum. I even got called the new Nico Hulk, Web Fury, or
Ace Baker.
Yeah, I got compared to all those people. That's pretty insulting, man. I mean, really. Really?
And they were trying to say that Brian lost a show, and that, you know, they were saying it was a good show, but that he was hiding in on, you know, all this crazy stuff. It was a wild goose chase, and they were just trying to get him to, like, you know, to just keep incriminating himself. But, you know, they were trying to, you know, out of nothing, and it was, you know, it just was a wild goose chase over there too. And this is after we gave Simon a whole forum to speak on and everything else. I didn't understand it. Yeah.
Uninterrupted. We didn't really challenge anything he said. And guys, I'm going to be honest. I spend a lot of time in the last 2 years researching 9/11, a lot more than people probably realize. I mean, I'm talking sometimes 10 hours a day.
Let me tell you something, guys. Every time I talk, you know, me and Brian probably talk, you know, every day, almost every day. I'd say almost every time I talk to him, he's watching the Naudette Brothers film again, or he's watching 102 Minutes, or, you know, all these. You know, don't get me wrong, I've watched them all, you know, maybe twice or a few times, or, you know, I've definitely put in some homework, but nowhere near the amount that Brian has, or, you know, a lot of these other people have. You know, that's not my personal thing, but, you know, this kid, he spends a lot of time on 9/11. I, you know, I'll give it to him. It's his bread and butter. But, you know, just want to, you know, that's my opinion. He's gonna burn himself out if you ask me. But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I've had to take breaks a few times. Yeah, but like I was saying, you know, after we let Simon Shack have the floor, you know, I got attacked on his website by a whole bunch of people, and I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't say anything wrong to anybody.
But you know what it was? It was after he attacked you too. So it was like he laid the groundwork, and then nobody was willing to trust you after. You know, I mean, we've had a couple good people from over there that, you know, recognize it and have said, you know, whatever. But for the most part, though, all the people that kiss his ass or whatever are going to just believe what he put his gospel and just not even trust Brian or me from that, you know, from any time after that. So just it made no sense, and it was just totally counterproductive. And if anything, it's like, you know, we've kept this long from even talking about these issues on the air because, I mean, you know, that we're like anti-bring, you know, we don't want to bring more strife into this limited community of people that get it, you know. We don't want to do that. But at some point, it's like, you know.
You got to speak up at some point. You can't just let people keep bad-mouthing you. Guys, I've been the bigger man in this situation, okay? I didn't say anything for a long time. This guy attacked me for weeks. And then I even agreed to do the radio show for him because I knew he didn't know how to set everything up. He's pretty computer literate when it comes to that, and he has no patience. And even after all the attacks, okay, I was going to do the radio show for his interview, and he went the next day and told everybody I refused. Okay, that's enough to piss off the Pope, all right? I mean, that's just ridiculous. And I've still let it go. And, you know, every time I go back there and check it out, there's something new written about me. Okay, and every time I get called a 9/11 agent. And this is a guy that's got like 4,000 members on his website, okay? So if they don't know who I am, and this guy's saying that, they're probably going to take his word for it. I can't have that, man. I got to speak up at some point, you know? And he removed the post that I made on his forum defending myself. First he locked it so he could only comment on it himself, made a bunch of comments, and then he took it down a couple days later. So there was a defense of myself up there, but he took it down. And ever since then, he's been setting up fake accounts, starting fights with them, making people say things I wouldn't even say, like, anybody that believes in 9/11 conspiracy theory should get their head checked. Like, I would ever say that. You know what I mean?
Right.
These are the types of things he's got people saying.
Yeah,
and then he's saying
here's the thing. The person trolling over there was someone that was against 9/11 truth of all aspects. You know, wasn't even like they were trying to push, like, you know, the thermite, you know, they weren't pushing an angle, not a Judy Woods angle, not the, they were pushing that anyone that believes in any 9/11 theories is a nut. And then he tried to say that this is Brian Stavely, you know, so that was doing that. And I don't see Brian wasting his time in doing that, you know. I don't know. I really don't, you know, to be honest.
I would never waste my time doing that. And those are the types of words that would never come out of my mouth. I think anybody that's listened to us knows that I would never say something like that. I mean, come on. Why would I ever say that? Think about it. I would never say that.
If anything, you would go over there and make comments, you know, if you were going to do a fake name. Which I'm not saying you would ever do that. I've never seen anything but your real name is anywhere. You would probably say he's gatekeeping the collapse footage. That's what you would say.
Yeah. Oh, that's absolutely what I would say. I try to get that out real quick so people could see it.